Hi, everybody. It's John Dickerson. Welcome or welcome back to the Connection Point podcast. At the end of this episode, I'd encourage you to take a moment and check out cp.news on your web browser. Connection Point is a church that is fully online, and you can follow Jesus one day at a time from anywhere in the world with us. Well, I pray this message inspires you and challenges you today to take your next step in your faith journey. Enjoy.
Well, hello, Connection Point. Welcome. Thankful that you're here. Also thankful if you're part of the online family or there in Avon or Fishers. Just a blessing to be in this journey together. Well, we had Easter last weekend, starting a new series next weekend that'll be really, really powerful. I'm super excited for. And we're just kind of slotted in the middle here, a little bit of something that the Lord's laid on my heart that I'm just hoping and praying would be a bit of an encouragement to you today. When I was a kid growing up in Long Beach, California, I was kind of a tidy kid, you know. I don't like getting dirty. Wasn't good at fixing things or making things. I wasn't into anything like that. I was a beach kid, surf kid, and then that was kind of all it. And then as God would have it, I got an adoptive dad who was like 200% man. I mean, he was like the man's man, which was like the coolest thing ever. But like, I was so deficient in so many ways. This was how Jesus brought along a way to compensate for what I was lacking. And he was so amazing. I mean, he was like a football star in high school, and by 17 was like a certified master mechanic. And then he went off to Tunisia and Africa and did all these like amazing man things for a number of years in Africa, came back fluent in French and Arabic. Like, who does that? And then he got into duck hunting, and then now he's got me years later as his son, poor guy. And so like, I have nothing to do with duck hunting or like shooting weapons. I had no clue how to handle a weapon. And so now he's trying to familiarize me with a 12-gauge shotgun. Thankfully, he was incredibly patient. He was the most patient human being ever. Because just picture, I'm like 11 or 12 years old. He's just handed me a 12-gauge shotgun. And just for frame of reference, at 11 or 12, I'm basically the same height that I am now, 6'3", but about 150 pounds lighter than I am right now. Picture a skeleton with a 12-gauge. That's me at 11 years old. And the first time that I shoot the thing, I go up to shoulder it, but I shouldered it on my bicep and pulled the trigger. Not that I had a bicep, but where the bicep would have been, that's where I put it. It doesn't feel good when you pull a 12-gauge trigger and it's just a bone on 12-gauge. That's not the way it's intended. And yet he was still super patient with me. We tried trap and skeet shooting. We'd go out and I wouldn't hit anything. Well, we discovered that while I am right-handed, I am left-eye dominant, which isn't good because you shoulder here, you're supposed to be looking down this thing, but this eye's trying to do the work. I'm all kinds of messed up. And he's still patient with me. We get in like a year. I had not hit anything. Then he takes me out duck hunting, and God bless him, he's still so patient. 2 years of hunting ducks, never shot one single duck in 2 years. And he's still patient with me. Eventually, my mom comes out with us one time to watch. I think it was to see why her son was so lame at doing this after 2 years. But she came out, and so we're out parading through, you know, slogging through the duck swamp or whatever it is. My mom is in waders, chest-high waders, and she's kind of trying to stay safe and in the clear. So she's a good 20, 30 yards off from us. She has got herself stuck waist deep in the mud. And my dad and I are parading off in some other area looking for ducks. And then a duck springs up out of the marsh. And now I'm super excited. I'm going to prove to my dad that I could do this. And I'm going to show my mom I'm not the loser that she thinks that I am. And so the duck takes off and I shoulder the gun, this time actually on my shoulder. I pull the trigger. Boom. I got it. I got the duck, and it hit the duck in a perfect trajectory. As it hit, it's now going downward. I look over to kind of project where it's going to be. No joke, you guys. My mom's stuck in the mud. She sees it. It hit my mom in the head, the dead duck. Well, now I'm celebrating for two reasons. One, the obvious. The two, it was just kind of fun to see my mom get splattered with duck juice. And yet they were still, mind-blowingly, still so patient with me, even in the midst of that. And then funnily enough, I never did take to duck hunting. And yet my dad was still patient. He was still loving. He was still hanging in there with me. I needed patience. The patience that my dad afforded me was an opportunity for me to have an extended amount of time. And in that patience, I got time to learn. I got time to learn in that case about how to handle a weapon, about how to do duck hunting. But like more important than that, his patience that he extended to me afforded me time to learn some stuff about me. It also afforded me time to learn a whole bunch about him. What I learned was that he was an incredibly patient man. And what I experienced in his patience, in particular in that season, was patience that I would continue to experience all the years that he was my dad. And it was that patience that actually drew me to him. It was the patience that I knew he had with me and for me that really endeared me to him. It gave me the inclination, kind of the magnetic pull to actually want to spend time with him because I continued to experience his patience, and his patience afforded me more time with him. If you don't have patience, you don't have time. If you don't have patience with yourself, if you don't extend patience to somebody else, then you don't give yourself time, you don't give the other person time to learn, to grow, to make mistakes, to get to know themselves better, to get to know you better. And that's why I'm so thankful that Jesus is patient. Jesus is incredibly patient with you. Right on, amen, or woohoo, in your heart to that, because Jesus is more patient than you think he is. I mean, think about it. 318 people last weekend just got rescued by Jesus. If he hadn't been patient, then who knows what happens with those people? If Jesus hadn't been patient, who knows what happens with me? All the people that you're still thinking about, still praying for. Jesus is still patient with them. If you're in a spot where you yourself still don't know where you stand with Jesus, then here's the beautiful blessing and newsflash. He's still being patient with you. He's still hanging in there with you. I'm titling this message, the Jesus I Never Knew. Because I think there's a lot of attributes and qualities and characteristics about Jesus that we're familiar with, that we know about, but I think there's a whole bunch that we don't or that we gloss over. And there's a massive difference between knowing about Jesus and knowing him personally. My hope and prayer is that all of us, whether you're still trying to figure out your relationship with him or you're a new believer or you've been walking with him for a long time, that you would get to a place in these next weeks, months, and years, where you would get to know the Jesus that you know a little bit, even more so. And not just parts of him, but the whole of him. If I were to subtitle the message, it would be something like getting to know Jesus better than we already do. That's good for every single one of us, not just those of you that are new in your relationship with him. What would it look like if you've already been walking with him for 10, 20 years to get to know him better this year than you have in the last five combined? And out of all the qualities and characteristics that we could continue to press into and learn about, and we might have time over the course of this next year too, there's just one I want to talk about today, and it is the patience of Jesus. I might have also subtitled this message something like the surprising patience of Jesus and why it matters. Because Jesus is incredibly patient, and his patience matters. It means something. It's catalytic for something to take place. And I hope you get it. I hope you don't miss it. There's a prayer that I'm making, a prayer for me. I'm praying it for all of us. And it actually is a prayer that Paul prayed in the New Testament, at least first and foremost, for the people of Thessalonica. And he wrote it here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 5. May the Lord lead your hearts into a full understanding and expression of the love of God and the patient endurance that comes from Christ. That's my prayer, is that the Lord would lead us into a full understanding of his love as it is expressed through the patience of Jesus. There's a link between the love of God and the patience of Christ. His patience can be a display of his love. I hope you catch that link. If you're not real familiar with the patience of Jesus, it's all throughout the Gospels. We see it so tangibly while he's here on earth and he's interacting with all sorts of people. We see these different glimpses of his patience displayed, like in real tangible ways, with all sorts of people in all different types of circumstances. He extends his patience and displays it to people in stunning ways. Here's just a handful that we'll look through, and you might want to take a picture of this with your phone and then go back and read some of these accounts on your own maybe this week if you would. There's the patience of Jesus with a sinful woman. Luke is one of them to record it. And it records that she is a sinful woman, but the wording there for sinful carries with it a little heavier weight to it than just like, yeah, we all sin, we're all sinful people. This is more like she was notorious as a sinner. That's what she was known for. Maybe it was because of her vocation or something, but she was known to be sinful in just about every way. But she had heard that Jesus was in the home of some Pharisees, these ultra-religious people. And yet she was so moved by her affection for Jesus that she was willing to put herself through the awkwardness of being around these people that she knew would judge her to get close to Jesus. And she goes into the home, and the people there, the others, start reacting poorly and awkwardly to her being there, and then reacting poorly to the way that she kind of throws herself at Jesus' feet. She brings in an expensive jar of perfume and anoints Jesus with this expensive perfume. She gets down at his feet and she's so moved by Jesus that she's weeping. And Luke records that her tears are hitting Jesus' feet. And she actually uses it as an opportunity to then wash the feet of Jesus. This incredibly humble, servant-postured sort of expression. And the combination of her tears and her hair, she cleans the feet of Jesus. Even though she's a notorious sinner, Jesus allows this. And Jesus has forgiven her. Jesus doesn't leave her. Jesus doesn't get impatient with her. Jesus doesn't just bail. He allows this to take place and then actually points out to the others that are judging her and says, this woman loves much because she's been forgiven much. In his patience, he actually uses the opportunity to deepen the relationship with her and kind of clue some others in about what's really important. You know, Jesus is so patient with me and you in our sin. He's patient with you in your sin. Right on, amen or woohoo to that in your heart, because this is a massive treasure, the patience of Jesus with regard to our sin. He's patient with the sin you've committed in the past. He's patient with the sin you're struggling with today. Theologically, there's a sense where he's patient with the sin that you're going to commit tomorrow. Still patient in our sin. Some of you sinned this morning multiple times. Some of you don't think you did because it's you know, still morning. But if that's you, then you've just sinned. Like we all sin more times than I can keep track of. And yet Jesus is still patient with us in that. He still hangs in there with us in that, affords us time. But there's a reason behind that time. There's the patience of Jesus with that sinful woman and also with the busy Martha. You know, the sisters Mary and Martha, and Jesus comes into their home. Mary sits at Jesus' feet to spend time. And Martha, God bless her, she's just trying to be hospitable, but she's attending to a lot of stuff and incredibly busy, gets a little frustrated that Mary's not helping out. But even in the midst of her busyness, Jesus doesn't get impatient. He clearly but gently redirects her to what's more important here. He doesn't leave exasperated. He has a conversation with Mary, and it is full of grace. Jesus is patient with me and you, even in our busyness, even when we miss what's most important. You ever miss what's most important? Jesus is still patient with you in those moments. Even when you're busy about the wrong things, he's still patient with me and you. He may offer a word of direction or correction, but he's not bailing on you. He's still patient. There's the patience of Jesus with the doubting Thomas. Thomas is one of the 12 disciples. After the crucifixion, there's rumors that have started that Jesus has risen from the dead, but Thomas hasn't seen him yet. Some of the other disciples are telling him, Jesus is risen, and Thomas says, I'm not going to be able to believe until I am able to put my finger in the holes through which he was pierced. About a week later, guess who shows up? Jesus. And Jesus extends patience with Thomas, comes right up and says, hey, touch, put your finger in, look and see. I know what you wanted. Now, blessed are those that can get to this place without having to touch and still believe, but I'm patient with you. This is what you needed, then go ahead, put your fingers in. Jesus is so patient with us, even in our doubts. He's patient with you when you doubt him. He's patient with you in your struggling faith or imperfect faith. Any of you ever had doubts? Have you ever had struggling faith? Praise God. He doesn't bail on us or wag his finger or shake his head. He just says, I get it. And I'm patient with you. Even in the midst of doubts, super vividly, he's patient with a denial by Peter. Peter, one of the 12 also, but really one of the inner three, one of the close three of the disciples of Jesus. And Jesus is patient even with him. Like right at crunch time, right before the cross, Peter denies even knowing Jesus. One of Jesus' closest friends and disciples denies even knowing him, and Jesus is still patient with him. Jesus had warned Peter, "You're going to deny me," and Peter blows right by the warning. And still, Jesus is patient. Yet there's this beautiful moment at the end of John's account where Jesus doubles back, the risen Jesus doubles back with Peter and reinstates him and clues him in about the mission that he has for Peter. Jesus is patient with me and you, even when we let him down. You feel like you've ever let Jesus down? Like in your following of him, or he's told you not to do this and you do it anyway, or whatever. I mean, I have. And yet Jesus is still patient. And it's that patience that I think affected Peter. Can you imagine going through that? Denying Jesus, but then him coming back and still hanging in there with you? That would tell me a lot about the character and nature of Jesus, which is the character and nature of God. His patience. Such that when you get to 2 Timothy, or 2 Peter, that Peter wrote, he's addressing some theological stuff, and in 2 Peter, Peter, being affected by the patience of God himself, says this, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, "The Lord isn't really being slow about his promise, as some people think." The promise that the Lord's going to come back for his people. Peter's basically saying, hey, this slowness, this time that it's taking, there's a reason behind it. He said, no, he is being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. Skip down to verse 15. And remember, our Lord's patience gives people time to be saved. So there's a purpose behind his patience. Yes, he is more patient than you could possibly imagine, but it's not just so that we could take his patience for granted. It's not so that we just abuse his patience. There is a catalytic purpose for his patience. It is for our sake. And the purpose of his patience has to do with our salvation. The purpose of his patience has to do with our repentance. Peter knew that, experienced it. So did Paul. Paul says a similar thing in Romans chapter 2. Paul wrote it this way. Don't you see, Romans 2 verse 4, don't you see how wonderfully kind, tolerant, and patient God is with you? Does this mean nothing to you? Can't you see that his kindness is intended to turn you from your sin? It's the patience of God that was meant to turn our hearts. The purpose of his patience is giving us the ability to have a turn in our heart, a turn away from the sin, away from the disobedience, away from independence from God. Give our hearts some time to learn, like, sin is empty and I am sinful and broken. Give us time to make those mistakes. Give us time to experience his grace, his goodness. Give us time to experience his kindness, his tolerance of it, so that we'll go, gosh, he really is good. I'd rather be with, spend time with, be close with Jesus, who's like that, so, so patient. The patience of God allows us the time for our heart to turn. Paul knew it. Paul was so familiar with, like, the extent of the patience of Jesus, because he had his own experience with the patience of Jesus. Paul, if you're not real familiar, was this Jewish religious elite Pharisee, highly educated. He He was all about following the rules, all about accomplishment, all about education, and yet had missed really who Jesus was. So much so that he was at the pinnacle of his evil, really. Paul was pleased when he saw Christians being killed. And Paul had been a part of that to some extent, the killing of Christians. Like, if there's anybody that you and I, even today, I know sin is sin. There's no levels, but there's consequences that are different depending on different sins. And the nature of, like, what Paul was into in this moment, I was just really vile. If there's anybody we'd look at and go, yeah, gosh, let's not be patient with somebody, it would be somebody like Paul. And yet Jesus, there's the patience of Jesus with a violent Paul, a persecuting Paul. You can read about in Acts. The patience is extended as the resurrected Jesus makes this appearance to Paul. And it's quite the miraculous turn, transformation in Paul's heart and Paul's life. Jesus shows up and extends mercy, extends grace even to someone like Paul. And actually sends him on a radical mission of sharing the gospel, sharing the good news of who Jesus is. And you talk about someone that was way over here that everybody else would have pointed out and said, no hope for you. And that's who Jesus pursued. And now, through what he does in sharing the gospel, the good news of who Jesus is and how he operates, I mean, the ripple effect of that, we're all here today indirectly as a result of that. In 1 Timothy, you get this amazing glimpse because Paul, affected by Jesus, is now discipling a young protege named Timothy. And he's writing a letter to Timothy to encourage Timothy. And look at what he says, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. This is a trustworthy saying, and everyone should accept it. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I am the worst of them all, Paul says. You hear the humility there, the self-awareness there? I could say the same thing about me. I'm the worst of them all. I know what I'm capable of without Jesus. And there's something where the patience displayed to Paul had got him a front row seat to the goodness of Jesus. It also got him a front row seat to how far off he really was himself. That's why he says next, verse 16, but God had mercy on me so that Christ Jesus could use me as a prime example of his great patience with even the worst of sinners. Then others will realize that they too can believe in him and receive eternal life. In other words, it was the patience of Jesus displayed to the worst of all sinners that starts this ripple effect going, Jesus is patient with him, he can be patient with you, he's patient with me, he's patient with us all. Paul knew the depth of patience that Jesus has. It is so much more than you think it is. I was reading an article and came across this quote by this pastor that said, Jesus is even more patient than we are sinful. Man, that's so true and such a gift and a blessing and a treasure. He's incredibly patient. Even as followers of Jesus, he's patient with us. Not just patient with those who are far off. He's patient with those of you that are already in a relationship with him. You know, the days and weeks after the crucifixion, Jesus' followers were like stunned and shocked and wrestling, trying to figure out what in the world was going on. The last two things to maybe dive in and read about were a couple of moments where Jesus displays his patience to some followers. There's some that were slow to understand and another group of disciples that were frightened. These two slow to understand followers of Jesus are taking a walk, and Jesus joins them in the walk. Even though they're slow to understand and they can't connect the dots, Jesus takes the time to connect dots. He's not impatient. He's the epitome of patience with these guys and takes time with them even when they're slow to believe and slow to understand. When he makes an appearance to disciples a little bit later, the disciples, like his core, they're scared. They're scared of him. They think he's a ghost. And again, Jesus doesn't get exasperated or bail on them. He invites them to get to know him more. He's patient with them. He connects dots. In other words, you guys, if you're slow to believe and you're going, I just don't get it sometimes, Jesus is patient with you. You ever had a moment or a season where you're like, when it comes to the Bible or when it comes to Jesus or when it comes to faith, I don't get it. Jesus is still patient with you. You ever been scared or frightened? You've got a relationship with Jesus, but you still get scared about like what's next, what's on the horizon. Maybe you're even scared of him. Jesus is still patient with you in that. He gets it. He's hanging in there. See, these followers, even though they'd been around Jesus, they all still had room to get to know him better. And same with me and you, right? If you've been in a relationship with him for a little while, you and I all have room to get to know Jesus better. Way too many Christians live the first year of their Christian life like 20 or 30 times. And you walk with Jesus for decades, but you never grow to more fully understand who Jesus is. You just kind of stay in the shallow end with Jesus. And so wouldn't it be cool if here, kind of right after Easter, you just kind of take mental stock. Okay, Jesus, here's where I am with you. Here's some stuff I do know. Here's some areas I'm still longing to kind of deepen my relationship with you. I would love that to be the case over this next year, Lord. Would you please draw me in closer? That over this next year, you could get to next Easter and look back and go, my goodness, thank you, Jesus. Because of your patience extended to me, I got to know you better. And I know you more fully in this last year than the last 5 or 10 combined. He's inviting that. See, patience, God's patience, buys us time. It buys us time to experience more of his goodness, more of his kindness, more of his grace, more of his mercy, more of his love. It's a time thing that he opens up so that we can experience more of him. And when you experience more of him, really, then you'll trust him more. You'll be able to follow him more because you know him better and you're actually closer. His patience extended to you will always be there, and it'll always be something that will be to your benefit and my benefit. And so if you're jotting stuff down, when you're feeling, I don't care really how you're feeling, when you're feeling happy, when you're feeling sad, when you're feeling disappointed, when you're feeling stuck, when you're hurting, then first I would say receive his patience as his love. When you're feeling any of the things that these people were feeling, or maybe your own thing that is kind of separating you from him, stop and just appreciate. Wow, God, you're being patient with me. And that patience is an expression of your love. It's an expression of your goodness and kindness and tolerance and your grace and your mercy. That you're not bailing on me. You're not bringing down the immediate judgment. You're not bringing immediate punishment. Praise God. So I'm going to receive your patience as your love. And then two, when you're feeling any number of ways, then allow his patience to turn your heart. Recognize, yeah, the patience is there, and that's an expression of his love. But then say, Lord, I don't want to take advantage of that. And you are extending this to me for a reason. And part of that purpose and reason is that my heart might turn back to you, open up to you. That as I turn my heart to you, you would do something in my heart. And if you're feeling any number of these ways, then thirdly, I'd say make use of his patience to seek him more diligently, more enthusiastically than you ever have before. Because his patience has bought you and me time so that we could be drawn to him. Yes, our hearts can turn, but also that we could get to know Jesus fully. I think it's what got Paul to that point. He records it in Philippians chapter 3, where he looks back and he just goes, you know what? Everything that I counted as precious or valuable before, it's all trash. It's all garbage. It's all rubbish compared to knowing you, Jesus, being united with you, that there's nothing else that's more important. And it's his patience that makes that possible. It buys time for so much goodness to take place between you and him. That adoptive dad, the duck hunter, he's the one I've told you about that at 48 years old had the heart attack and we lost him. And it legitimately sent us into like just a really dark, icky season. I was a youth pastor at that time. I was a follower of Jesus. But that whole season, I knew too much to doubt that God existed. But that season made me just not like God very much. I don't know if you've ever had a moment like that, but that's where I was at. And I was wrestling. And I was hurting. And I was frustrated. But you know what God extended to me in that time? His patience. Jesus was patient with me in my doubts. He was patient with me in my hurts. He was patient with me in my anger. He was patient with me as I needed to re-wrestle through, do I really believe this? God, are you really good? He was patient with me every single step of that way. And that patience afforded me a season to really get to know him. His patience afforded me a season to not just know about him theoretically or even theologically, but his patience afforded me the opportunity to get to know him for real, personally, up against his chest. And it made all the difference. It made all the difference for me. And his patience will make all the difference for you. And so would you receive his patience? Would you receive it as an expression of his love to you? But would you also allow it to turn your heart to him? Would you make use of this patience that he's given us so that you could seek him? And if you seek him, you will find him. And when you find him, you'll be changed and blessed more than you could possibly imagine. And so, gracious Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you so much for your patience. Thank you so much for the grace and the mercy and the kindness that comes flooding through your patience. Whatever areas that might need to be experienced of your patience for the people that are here, the people that are listening, would they sense your patience with them right now? Would they sense your grace and love your kindness that's being extended to them. And then go to work on our hearts, God. Heal our hearts in this time that you've bought for us. Turn our hearts, strengthen our hearts, comfort our hearts. Whatever it is that our hearts need, Lord, do it in this time that your patience is buying us. We'll be eager to get to know you more and more than we already do every single day in the weeks and months to come. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Love you guys.
Well, if today's episode encouraged you or helped you in any way, we would invite you to keep following Jesus with us. We send out a daily video text devotional. You can receive that, and you can learn how to gather with us online or in person for our weekend services. All of that is available over at cp.news. That's the letter C, the letter P, .news on your phone or desktop or tablet browser. Thanks again for joining us, and please join me again next week for the Connection Point Podcast.